Do you see your calling? Do you know that you have been called into a high and holy calling? Hello and God bless you. Please turn with me to the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll start reading in the 26th verse. I'll give you a second to get there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul writes, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." In this verse, Paul talks about seeing our calling. The word see is the Greek word blepo. It's Strong's number 991, which is a primary verb that literally means to look at. Paul is saying to the believers in Corinth and to us to look at our calling. So if we are going to look at our calling, we need to know what Paul is talking about when he says calling. The word calling is a noun and is the subject of this sentence. One would think that the word calling would be used as a verb, because calling in English is the present progressive tense of called. For example, I called Bob, or I am calling Bob, is the word being used as a verb. But here, it is being used as a noun. A noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. Perhaps an easy way to make this clear is to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where the Greek word translated here as calling is used again. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians and go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Notice the word vocation. It's the same Greek word translated calling. Vocation is actually a good translation, because your calling is what you have been called to be. Please note that I did not say what you are called to do. For example, if you are going to build a house, you will want to hire a carpenter. A carpenter does carpentry, but a carpenter is a carpenter whether they are doing carpentry or not. Sawing a board and nailing it up does not make one a carpenter, even though one may be doing a form of carpentry. Although there are many who dabble in carpentry, not all are carpenters. Traditionally, a person became a carpenter after much training by a master carpenter. The apprentice could not declare him or herself a carpenter. Only the master could declare an apprentice a carpenter. The same is true of our calling. Only the master can call us into our calling. Only after we are declared justified, sanctified, and righteous by the grace of our master are we firm in our calling or vocation. Now that we have been called and installed into the calling, we can begin to do the work of the calling. Conversely, there are those who dabble in the Christian religion, but may or may not really be Christians. Doing a ritual or wearing a robe does not make one a Christian. No amount of religious work can make one holy or justified. You must be declared or judged holy by the Master before you can do holy work. What we do as believers is a result of who we are in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Notice good works are a result of God's workmanship in us in Christ. The order cannot be changed. Our calling is a result of being called, justified, and sanctified by God's grace in Christ. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, where we started. Look at the first phrase in verse 16. For ye see your calling, brethren. This is an awesome statement that has a central truth buried in it. If the basic truth is missed, the falsehoods that are perpetrated throughout Christendom will easily render you ineffective. This small statement is the jackhammer that begins to crumble the shaky foundation of organized performance-based religion. The phrase, for ye see your calling, brethren. Calling, the word calling, is the only singular word in this sentence. Ye, the word ye, is you plural, referring to all the Corinthian believers, and oh, by the way, every believer that has ever read this. Plural, as in many believers, are included in this little word ye. The word brethren is obviously plural, and the word your in the Greek is plural, and even the action verb see is plural in the Greek. Only the word calling is singular. Many believers, brethren, each seeing or literally looking at a singular calling that they have all been called into. Not many callings, there is only one calling, one and only vocation. None are special, but are brethren. None are different, none are better than another. They are all brethren, equal in the calling, one and only one. Jesus said, there is only one master, and we are all brethren. We have all been called into the same calling. Our calling is into Christ at the right hand of God. Our calling is to allow Christ to live in us and through us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll say that again. Our calling is to allow Christ to live in and through us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 calls our calling the high calling. Paul writes, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3:14. Please notice the word thee. We tend to be sloppy in our use of language, but the Greek language was very specific. The definite article, thee, identifies its subject as distinct from all others. In other words, Paul is saying that there is only one high calling. It's one of a kind. There is no other. In Hebrews, the author calls our calling the heavenly calling and our profession. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We are brethren, sharers in the one heavenly vocation. We all have been called into the one holy heavenly profession, the one and only heavenly high calling. We are partakers. Literally, we are sharers or partners in the one calling that is heavenly. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul makes it abundantly plain in verse 9 here that we were not called into our holy calling because of what we have done. We did not earn the right to be called sons and daughters of God. He called us because of his own purpose and grace. Look at your calling. We should look at our calling and understand that we have been called into a high and holy calling, a heavenly calling. We should be aware that it was not the mighty, nor the powerful, nor the religious, and not the famous that were called, but instead, he called us. Why did God pick and call us into his holy and high vocation? Because he loves us. He chose us before the foundation of the world by his mercy and grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our hope is built on nothing less than Christ. In our own self, we are hopeless, but we have been called into the holy calling, placed in Christ, and given the greatest gift that the universe will ever know, Christ in us. Look with me quickly at Ephesians chapter 1. Have you ever wished that you could be prayed for by someone like Paul? Well, you have been. Here it is. In this passage, Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers and you and I, that our understanding will be enlightened and that we will know the hope of his calling. Let's start in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Look at your calling. You see, Paul was praying that we would understand that we have been called into the same calling as he was, and that we have the same Christ in us as he does. If you have Christ in you, how much Christ did you get? Either you have Christ in you or you don't. Look at your calling. Each one of us has been called into the holy calling, his calling. We have his profession, his vocation, his calling. His calling is the one and only calling. Have you ever wondered about the lasting effect of prayer? Paul's prayer is still in effect after 2,000 years. Do you suppose that his prayer is effectual? He prayed for you by revelation that you would be enlightened in your understanding of the hope that comes out of his calling. Look at our calling. Go to chapter 4. Verse 4 in Ephesians. I want you to look at this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye. Now notice that word ye. It's plural. See, I don't know when you're using another version of the Bible. How do you know whether that word you is singular or plural? In the King James, it gives you ye, and you know that that's plural. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye, plural, are called in one hope of your calling. There's one hope, there's one body, there's one spirit. You, plural, all of us believers, all of the people in Ephesus, and everybody else that's ever read this, everybody else that's believed, are called in one hope into one body by one spirit into one calling. There is one hope, no other, none. We tend to put our hope in the stock market, money, cars, jobs, houses, other people, wives, husbands. But there is only one hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 identifies the one hope very succinctly. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is one body. It is the body of Christ. There are not many bodies divided over men's doctrines. All who have Christ in them are a part of the one body of Christ. There is one Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. The circus rages on with folks running from meeting to meeting, false prophet to false prophet, looking for a new and better anointing. There is only one, Christ in you. Look at our calling. Paul prayed that we would be enlightened to the hope of our calling in Christ. Some would have us believe that the Spirit is doled out one dropper full at a time. Denominational doctrines would have you running to the soda jerk at the church on the corner to get your weekly scoop of spirits. We receive the gift of Spirit according to the measure of Christ. That's in Ephesians 4:7, by the way. According to the measure of Christ. How big is that scoop? It's big enough. Our calling, our vocation, is Christ in us, the one and only hope of glory. Let's go back to where we began in 1 Corinthians and read the context of the verse we started with. We will start reading in verse 17. I'll give you a few seconds to get back there. It's always good to understand the context of a verse to see the full meaning of what you are reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Who sent Paul? Christ. Christ sent Paul. And us. Christ sent us, just like he sent Paul, to announce the good news of the gospel. Paul's gospel and our gospel is the gospel of the mystery. The body of Christ, the family of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at your calling. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to announce the good news, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Do you think that you need to memorize some wise and scholarly script to announce the good news of the mystery? You have Christ in you. Speak forth the words of grace and peace in Christ. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. If you get a mind picture of a sweaty preacher thumping on a podium when you hear the word preaching, erase the image. The word for preaching here in this verse is logos. The logos is the word of God, the full concept with the depth of revelation behind it and the power of God empowering it. This is the word or logos that God has entrusted us with to proclaim the good news of the mystery. We speak, He gives us the words. He empowers, He draws, and saves to the uttermost. It's not our wisdom, but His. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world system? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, or the world system, cosmos, by wisdom, knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of proclamation or preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, look at your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, which is our calling, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look at your calling. Do you see the high and holy calling that God has called you into? we are brethren, sharers in the one heavenly vocation. We all have been called into the one calling. We are partakers, sharers, partners with Christ in the one calling that is heavenly. I pray the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, and that we may know that we know that we know what is the hope of His calling. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.